You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by our great friends at Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day today. Hopefully you have the opportunity to maybe take a little bit of time off, watch some day basketball, and of course, recognize the holiday for how important it is and what it means, especially across the NBA. And the Timberwolves have the honor of playing in Atlanta. I believe the Hawks are wearing their MLK jerseys today. I think they're the City Edition jerseys. So playing the 1:30 game on NBA TV in Atlanta is obviously a really cool thing for the Wolves. Unfortunately, they will be depleted, as are the Hawks, really, but the Wolves don't have Karl Anthony Towns. So that's what we'll talk about today, is that news that broke after Friday's show, after I published Friday's podcast. So we'll talk about Karl Anthony Towns and COVID-19, the impact on the roster so far. Obviously terrible news. So we'll get into that here in a second. The implications on the roster and the rotation, and then also a quick preview for the game today. The first time the Wolves have seen Atlanta this season. And Atlanta has quite a few injuries themselves. So that'll be the show today. And then I will have a show following the game. I'm not sure if it'll get published today or early Tuesday, but basically a recap, studs and duds per usual. And that will be Tuesday's show. All right. So before we get into all the news, as always, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, that includes Apple, that includes Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, really anywhere. And then you can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. You can follow yours truly as well on Twitter at @BBeacon, B-E-E-C-K-E-N on Twitter as well. All right. So the news Friday, by now I'm sure you've heard, not only did the Wolves have a couple of players absent due to COVID-19 health and safety protocols, which we knew on Friday's show was Juancho Hernangómez and Ricky Rubio, we also knew that Hernangómez had entered a 10-day isolation period, according to John Krasinski of The Athletic. The Wolves, as other teams are doing, are not announcing who tests positive, but the mandatory 10-day isolation really seems to imply that Hernangómez would have tested positive and Rubio would be a close contact, since nothing has broken about how long Rubio will be isolated or will be away from the team. And then it broke late Friday afternoon, or really early evening, like right around 5 o'clock Central time, that Karl Anthony Towns, or that the game would be postponed, I think is what came out first, right around 5 o'clock Central, before what was supposed to be a 7 p.m. tip in Minnesota between the Wolves and the Grizzlies. And then Towns put out on social media at around 5:30 that he had tested positive, which is just mind numbing. I mean, the sheer number of his family members, it was seven that he said relatives, family members that had passed away due to COVID-19 or COVID-19 complications over the course of, from the start of the pandemic through training camp, and obviously including his mother, which we all know about tragically, Jacqueline Cruz Towns passing away last April. His dad was in the hospital, I think in the ICU around that same time. So clearly it's impacted his family really severely. And not only is it's heartbreaking from a, not again, not this guy, not his family. I mean, think about what his dad's going through now, what his sister and her kids and the rest of his family are going through right now, knowing that now he's got it. And it's been much talked about how much he's been the rock for that family. He did that video on YouTube with, he did that interview back, I think it was in September, maybe October, when he talked about the devastation that COVID-19 brought to his family. And he really opened up, and it was just kind of another thing that he was doing for awareness, and applaud him for that. And I did at the time. And then the other piece of this, and obviously I'm not a doctor, I'm not going to speculate on, there's so much we don't know about COVID-19. And so I don't want to get too in the weeds on that, but obviously all thoughts and all prayers go towards Towns. Clearly this virus has impacted his family. We don't know, what that means for his recovery. And I mean this from a purely personal and health perspective, and not anything to do with basketball, that, we just hope and pray that Kat can recover in short order, and that it doesn't hit him too hard, and all those things, and that his family stays safe too. I mean, obviously he had talked about pretty extensively in the media about being with his sister and his niece and his nephew and being around, you know, that his support system at home, and you just pray that they're okay. And that they don't contract the virus, and they haven't contracted the virus, and we just don't know. So there's so many different layers to this thing that go obviously far beyond basketball. So just devastating to hear that news on Friday. And then I guess awkwardly transitioning to the basketball part of it. No Towns, no Hernan Gomez, no Rubio. The Wolves, spent Saturday doing testing. Presumably they had practice on Sunday and said that they didn't have any additional close contacts. They felt good in their protocols, that nobody else was severely at risk, and nobody else had tested positive at that point. And then the NBA postponed Sunday's game between Memphis and, I forget who they were playing, but Jonas Valanciunas obviously guarded Towns last Wednesday. And so you don't know, I mean, we don't know if he tested positive or if that's just contact tracing, but then it's like, well, there are a lot of other guys on the court last Wednesday too. And Memphis has played since then too. This wasn't the first game Memphis had since the game against Minnesota on Wednesday. They played on Saturday, I believe. Yeah, that's what it was. They played Saturday and they were supposed to play Monday, I guess, not Sunday. So at any rate, Memphis had a game postponed because of that contact, we think. So there's such a crazy trickle down with this that's impacting multiple games and all that. So, from a basketball perspective, the NBA has just seen tons of postponements now and continues to say they're not looking at pausing the season at all. There's a reason they only released the first half schedule now, and the second half schedule is supposed to come out in the next few weeks. But they're going to really need to backload some of this stuff if they can't squeeze some games in here before the All-Star break, which we're now within like 6 weeks of that. So, this year will be early March instead of in February, like it usually is. So just crazy all the way around. Obviously thoughts and prayers with all the guys who have contracted COVID-19, and of course not limited to basketball, but all the NBA players and their families. And to this point, it seems like the NBA has done an okay job of most of this stuff. They tweaked the COVID-19 regulations and the travel stuff. We talked about that last week after the Board of Governors meeting. And that's all good. It's just a little weird that some of that stuff was so loosey-goosey as it was until that meeting last week. So we'll see if cases can decline, I guess both nationally and then also within the team, within the organization, is obviously what we're looking to see. All right, next I do want to shift this pretty heavily towards the basketball aspect and look broadly at the Wolves roster and how they're going to weather this storm over the next few days, because we know there's several guys that, or at least two of the three, Towns and Hernan Gomez, are going to be out for at least another week at minimum. How will the Wolves manage this, losing two of their relatively few front court players? And then also specific to the matchup with Atlanta, what does that look like? What does Atlanta's injury report look like as well? So that'll be coming up next. First, though, we have to talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. And I'm dead serious when I say it tastes just like a candy bar. I had two the other day, which I guess I would highly recommend. I had the banana bread flavor, which is amazing. I also had the raspberry one. And those are definitely two of my favorites. Mint brownie is another one. There's also six brand new flavors. So there's now a total of 18 flavors to choose from. These six new ones are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, which I am going to have today. I will report back on how delicious it is. Cherry Barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bar does taste like a candy bar. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. But don't worry, they are healthy. They're perfect if you're health conscious. They'll help you lose or maintain weight. Well, you still get to indulge in a delicious treat. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and high in fiber. And if you're on a keto diet, they are perfect. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, NFL games. There's still three NFL games left, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so I talked on Friday a little bit about the implications of no Juancho Hernan Gomez, no Ricky Rubio on the Wolves rotation. And that was more specific to the Friday game against Memphis. We didn't have all the other information. Obviously, the Wolves did not play on Friday. And obviously without Towns now, you've got a little bit of a more complicated situation. One thing that is going in the Wolves' favor, Jake Lehman has returned and is apparently available for the game on Monday. He had been out for about a week for personal reasons. Remember, he played only 5 minutes last Saturday, was a DNP CD, just fell out of the rotation last Sunday, but then missed the game on Wednesday and was going to miss the game Friday. The Wolves had tweeted out or reshared a picture that Lehman had posted of a new baby. So congrats to the Lehman family. Per Wolves social media and the lack of his presence on the injury report, it sure looks like he's on the trip to Atlanta, should be available to play. And so that helps a little bit. Obviously, he was going to be out of the rotation. So the question is, does he then get back in with the lack of depth at the four and the five? I think the answer is probably. Now, quickly, before we get to this matchup, though, what does this look like long term? And by that, I mean for the next week to 2 weeks, 10 to 14 days or so. I mean, Hernan Gomez and Towns were your starting front court. Now, what do you have left? You have Nasri, you have Ed Davis, you have Jared Vanderbilt, who's been fantastic, and you have Jaden McDaniels, and he's a rookie who has played 0 minutes in non-garbage time so far this year. He's, I think, just turned 20, and, you know, like Kevin Durant at Texas, thin is basically his frame right now. I mean, this team just doesn't have enough front court depth. And you could say all you want about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, whether it's him or somebody else, the fact that that's all the Wolves are going to roll with. I mean, both Nas and Ed Davis are centers, so that's great, but there's not a whole lot of leeway there. If somebody gets into foul trouble or you know, whatever, Ed is limited offensively. Nas is limited defensively. They have very different games, and I understand why the Wolves have the front court that they do, but when you're suddenly missing two guys from your starting lineup, it's going to look a lot different. So Jake Lehman is going to work in at the four. We've seen Josh Okogie play pretty significant minutes at the four. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. That's going to depend on the matchup. I had said on Friday's show, I didn't think that was a winning strategy against Memphis to play Okogie at the four. I thought the Wolves would be better served to look at a more traditional two-big front court, whether that was at the time we thought it would be Towns and playing Nas with Towns or Ed Davis even with Towns or Ed Davis and Nas together with the second unit. I think we'll see some of that in this game. Just, again, assuming McDaniels is kind of off the table to play heavy minutes against a really good rebounding Atlanta team with Clint Capella and others, you're looking at three bigs. You're looking at Davis, Nas Reed, and Jared Vanderbilt. So, yeah, we're going to see Josh Okogie at the four. We're probably going to see Jake Lehman at the four, almost certainly, now that he's back. Thank goodness he's back. Otherwise, Anthony Edwards, I guess, is next up at the four if you don't want to play Jaden McDaniels. So at that point, I think McDaniels would have to get some run. So what I look for the next week is I think the Wolves start there. I think, and we'll get into the matchup tonight here in a minute, but I do think we'll see Nas in the starting lineup instead of Ed Davis, and I think we'll see Jared Vanderbilt at the four, giving the Wolves the opportunity to play, you know, to add, you know, a fraction of Towns' offense back with Nas and the ability to stretch the floor, and then also putting Vanderbilt in the starting lineup because he deserves it, and you don't have anybody else that really should start at the four. I guess now that Lehman's back, it's possible to go with Lehman and Davis in the starting lineup to try and keep the second unit together. But it's not like the Wolves are playing like world beaters right now anyways. What I would do is I would start Vanderbilt and Nas Reed with Ed Davis and Jake Lehman coming off the bench. And if things don't go well in the first half, you give minutes to Jaden McDaniels. I mean, if you're down double digits at halftime, what do you have to lose? I mean, you're not going to destroy his confidence in one game, I don't think. And the kid can score, and this is the type of game. The Hawks have actually been okay defensively this year, which is, I think, a surprise to many, certainly to me. I have been kind of bullish, and I really liked their offseason, and I thought the Hawks would be really good. But everybody was worried about their defense, and rightfully so. They're middle of the pack right now. They're 15th in defensive rating, 15th in opponent points per game. Trae Young hasn't been great on either end of the floor, really, but besides him, they've actually defended a little bit and have been pretty good on that end of the floor, good enough at least to sniff a 500 record. So I want to get into their schedule and then also the specific matchup between Wolves and Hawks. So we're going to do that here next. Before we do, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. Are you ready for playoff football? Hopefully you enjoyed divisional weekend if you're a football fan. There were four fantastic games Saturday, Sunday. Next Sunday is Championship Sunday, so two big games. Plenty still to bet on. And don't forget about NBA futures. Now that we know where James Harden is, a lot of things have opened up in terms of NBA futures. And of course, betting games on a daily basis. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. That's NFL games, it's college basketball, it's NBA. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, coming up later in the week on Locked On Wolves, the Wolves are starting to ramp their schedule back up. Of course, they have a bit of a depleted roster. So we'll talk all things about upcoming games and kind of explore. There's a couple of additional, starting to get some trade rumors out there. Obviously, the big Harden trade last week, but there's plenty to talk about in terms of what do the Wolves do next to upgrade their roster. I talked a little about it last week, but we'll get into that a little bit more heavily here this week. Right now, let's talk Wolves-Hawks. As I mentioned, the Hawks have struggled a little bit more lately. They're 5-7 on the year, but they started 3-0. They've lost 6 out of their last 7. Those losses, there's one good win in there. They beat Philadelphia a few days ago, and then since then have lost to Utah and Portland. There's no shame in that. But before that, they lost 4 straight to losing teams. Cleveland, the Knicks, who are right around 500, I guess, but we'll see what happens with them. And then 2 games to Charlotte. And I guess Charlotte's played better too, but still not like really impressive losses except for the Utah and Portland ones, although Utah blew them out. Bogdan Bogdanovic is out. I guess he's listed as doubtful for this game, but he's missed the last couple. Danilo Gallinari was a huge offseason addition and only played in 2 games before he went out with an injury. And of course, they were 2-0 at that point. Chris Dunn hasn't played at all for them this year, and he was expected to be a big part of the rotation. Rajon Rondo's had some issues with injuries as well. And so you're looking at a team that really hasn't had their depth or anything that they expected to have in terms of their bench depth. Now, Trae Young and John Collins are their best players and have each played in all 12 of their games. DeAndre Hunter has played in every game. He's probably their next best player. And Clint Capella's played in 10 of 12 games. So for the most part, their best players have been healthy. It's those ancillary pieces that they rely on, obviously heavily. Bogdanović and Gallinari were acquired for a reason. They're a big part of what the Hawks are trying to do. I'm still fairly bullish on them as a playoff team in the East once they get healthy. This version of the Hawks is beatable without Gallinari, without Bogdanović, without Chris Dunn and some of the additional depth. Cam Reddish is also a little bit banged up. I think he's questionable for the game on Monday. So they're beatable. The Wolves are actually, according to betonline.ag, the Wolves are actually 8-point underdogs in this game, which seems a little high to me. But then again, you know, matinee on the road, MLK Day, there's obviously some, you know, with the Hawks wearing MLK jerseys, there's something behind that for Atlanta to give them, hopefully, or well, not hopefully for Wolves fans, but for them, you know, a little bit of an extra edge or push to try and win this one. The Wolves have to compensate for no Towns. Clearly, the Hawks should be favored in this game. It's also kind of a scary matchup for the Wolves. Everybody thinks of the Hawks or coming into the season, you'd be like, oh yeah, they're going to jack threes and make a bunch of threes, and that's kind of their game. Well, they're 11th in three-point attempts, but they're 25th in percentage. They're actually third in free throw attempts per game and first in makes, second in rebounds per game, the Hawks are getting the ball into the paint and attempting a lot of shots in the paint. Trae Young last year only shot 35% of his shot attempts were attempted within 10 feet of the rim. And this year that's just over 48%. So almost half of his shot attempts are coming from in the paint. And he's actually shooting less threes and shooting them a lot less accurately this year. Trae Young's only 26.5% beyond the arc. He's still going to shoot 6 a game, but that's down from last year. And again, he's getting into the paint. The Wolves have had problems containing on the perimeter. No Rubio. So you're talking D'Angelo Russell and Jordan McLaughlin, who's fairly good defensively and probably can be better than what Rubio's provided so far this year. Are Russell and McLaughlin going to be able to contain Trae Young? Are the Wolves going to be able to contain him on the back end with help defense with no Karl-Anthony Towns? What does that look like when Young breaks down the defense and gets into the paint? That's where he's been so good this year. That's how Young has still maintained. I mean, he's still played at a star level this year, despite shooting under 27% from three. And I've said on this show before, I think he's vastly overrated. He shouldn't have been an all-star last year. He's one of the league's worst defenders. And this year he's shooting 38%, 27% on threes. But he's getting to the paint more often. He's scoring in the paint. He's drawing fouls. He's a fantastic free throw shooter. He's averaging 9.5 free throw attempts per game and shooting almost 89% at the line. He's also creating for others by breaking down defenses and getting into the paint. And there's a few other guys who are shooting threes at a decent enough clip. I mean, because Trae takes so many threes and is shooting them so poorly, he drags down that overall team number. You look at, you know, DeAndre Hunter is shooting 39%. Kevin Huerter is shooting 35%, and he's now not a starter for this team. He's a rotation guy. He's a bench guy because of the depth. John Collins is 34%, and he's shooting 3 a game. Cam Reddish, 33% at 5 a game. So Trey Young actually drags down the team's 3-point percentage, and he's done an outstanding job creating for others by breaking down defenses, getting into the paint, etc. And that's a problem for the Wolves. The Wolves also struggle mightily defensive rebounding in the defensive rebounding category. They've been okay offensively on the glass, but they're going up against the number 6 defensive rebounding team in the league, and with no Towns and Hernan Gomez. I mean, he's not a great rebounder, but he's typically the Wolves' second or third leading rebounder, or at least has been recently. He's been playing a little bit better, and obviously playing the four. He's an okay rebounder, generally speaking. Now the Wolves are going to rely heavily on Jared Vanderbilt, and Naz Reid has to bring it as well. If the Wolves have any chance to win this game, Naz has to, you know, he has to sniff 10 rebounds for sure, especially if he starts in this game. So the Wolves will need Naz, Ed Davis, and Jared Vanderbilt to show up on the glass if they're going to have a chance to beat the Hawks. But I really think Atlanta's kind of a tricky matchup for the Wolves because of their outstanding guard play and also the ability to score both inside and outside. Their 3-point, again, that 3-point percentage shooting number as a team is a little bit deflated because of Trae Young's number. It's going to come up. This is a good shooting team. They're also doing damage in the paint. So that concerns me. Against the Wolves. And also they draw fouls. I mentioned that kind of in passing, but beyond Trae Young, team-wide, I mean, DeAndre Hunter gets to the line a ton. These guys draw fouls, they get to the free throw line, and they do damage there as well. So it is a tricky matchup. I think the Hawks are better than their record, and I think when it's all said and done, they're going to be above 500 and a playoff team in the East. So this would be a very nice win if the Wolves were able to pull this out with no Towns, no Rubio, and no Hernan Gomez. We'll see how that all comes together here today. I will have a show again, like I said, probably later today. Worst case, we'll post very early Tuesday. Studs and duds, you know, recapping the game, anything major that comes out of it. And then we'll look ahead to the rest of the week. The Wolves have a relatively, you know, palatable schedule here upcoming. You know, they only had 2 games in the last, well, actually, really, they've only had 1 game in the last week at this point, but they only had 2 games on the schedule in the last week. And so things start to heat up a little bit. Unfortunately, it will be without Towns and without Hernan Gomez, and for the time being, without Rubio as well. So we'll break all that down here moving forward. Otherwise, that's all we have for you today on the show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get podcasts, including iTunes and Spotify. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.